Okay, Stanley, that's the second and the very last episode regarding the BC election. So how do you feel about everything so far?
Well, kind of boring and predictable, tight race. Not really sure about the enthusiasm
Tight
of
race, but boring?
tight race, boring. The voter turnout probably going to be a question mark.
How is this boring? We have Linda. We have all these trolls, the troll chunk. We have some interesting incidents have happened so far, right?
Yeah, the press coverage has been continuously, like, very negative for the BC Liberals.
Yeah, but also this time, from both sides, it's a very, very nasty competition compared to last time, because Adrian Dix really wanted to have a positive campaign, which doesn't really work.
Well, to be honest, a campaign actually needs to be like prosecutorial on the opposition, which the Adrian Dix like caucus was actually doing a good job in the legislature, but failed to translate into the campaign. So the winning party would have to press on the record as well as explaining clearly on what the hell they want to do, right?
Yeah, what's important is always the 6 weeks rather than what you have said in parliament or in the legislature. But anyway, so what are the voters thinking right now? I really don't know. I try to see all the comments on internet. I try to have conversations with different people, but you never know. These are just some people, and I don't even know some of my friends even want to vote this time.
I think the dominating question is still going to be whether they could afford to stay here, whether they could make enough money from their employment to do so. I think those are the two dominating conversations.
Yeah, I think the dominating conversation, I mean, of course, among common people are these, but for this election, it's really about number one referendum of Christy Clark, because it's really about how much you dislike Christy Clark because of her comments, her smile, all these scandal, so-called scandal incidents related to her. That's one question, like how bad Christy Clark really is. The second question, what I have seen, most of them are surrounding about affordability, right? That's among one of the most, I think probably the most important issue question, at least in Metro Vancouver. And to be honest, I don't know if a provincial government can even solve this problem. I mean, even just affordability, even just we're talking about housing crisis, I don't think just with one election, this problem or this crisis can be solved, because I don't even hear much about what's going on internationally, because it's not just about the policy. It's also about, you know, the demand in Asia as well. And even though you can tax this, you can tax that, you can do all these policies, but it can only ease some of the demands from overseas, but not all of them. And also to build affordable housing, you need funding from the federal government. You need cooperation from the municipal government, and we have this three levels kind of, we have a federal system, which means, you know, these different levels have to cooperate. Like the central government, the federal government cannot say, okay, I want you to do this, so you have to do this. You have to, you know, they have their own jurisdiction. That's what I'm trying to say. So if we have, let's say, a conservative federal government with a NDP provincial government and a, you know, whatever, municipal government, if these three levels of governments have different visions for different issues, things probably will never happen. So that's the thing I always try to talk to many of my friends, even though it's not a very welcoming concept, is that, you know, there's a systematic problem. The system sucks. It's not just, it's funny how people always criticize the government. I mean, in Western democracies, people love to criticize the government, whoever they are, but rarely we question the system itself. Rarely we question electoral politics itself. You know, the every 4 years we have this election, and politicians have this pressure to be, you know, a politician has to be reelected in order to do the works. Then they are focusing is always on how to get reelected rather than, you know, to actually make things happen. And that the best tools to get reelected is to have a good marketing strategy. You need to have a good fundraising from the donors, and you have to have, you know, you have to talk smartly, you know, you have to put out all the ads. Plus you have, if you can do the constituency caseworks good in your own writing, probably you can get re-elected. So there's a systematic problem there. I might be a little bit off the topic. How do you feel?
Well, yeah, I think you mentioned a lot about institutional problems that many people overlook, because they're not easy problems to discuss or even to blame, right? Much less work on.
At the end of the day, is because Canadians don't want to launch a revolution. Right? So either we don't have the guts, or we just don't want to, or it's just not worth to launch a revolution. So, okay, let's just take the current system granted, and let's try to make the best out of the current system. I think some Canadians are smart enough to realize we do have a systematic problem.
Right, and you talked about the marketing, how getting reelected, it's mostly about
a
marketing game,
really,
right?
It's really a marketing machine. Let's say the BC Liberal, even the federal Liberal, not just the Liberals, but also, to be honest, all the political parties.
Yeah, the ones who got who got elected or reelected, they fundraise and market really well. But in terms of the actual promises that they usually deliver, it's actually not that great, right?
And people don't have another choice beside these people. So it's like, okay, I don't like Clark, maybe I should vote for NDP, you know, or people only pay attention to the news in the last 6 weeks. So they don't really, you know, their judgment, it's almost like selling iPhones, you know, selling different products. We don't really know much about the products themselves, but we just, you know, it seems cool. So probably I should purchase that. Is it really worth $1,000 just for a smartphone? I don't know, but it's cool, right? So you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, it's you're talking about things that are easy to do, like when where our systematic problems are actually hard to do, and in
politics,
and in politics, not just in politics, but in real life, the marketing and actually delivering the goods are at very different operations.
Exactly. So it's the, I guess in some case that's the nature of capitalism, even human society. So yeah. So back to the election itself. Any impression from the Chinese voters since our, you know, our website, our outlet is about the Chinese Canadian community as well. You have heard much from the Chinese community, Chinese voters?
Not that much. I mean, it's pretty much the same talking heads on like the talk radio. Maybe something that I don't hear that often is there are some voters from the Chinese newcomer community, those who are who are aware of the campaign financing situation with the BC Liberals. Some of them got sick of them, but those are some independent cases.
My impression is that, like, because the when we talk about the Chinese community, we are mostly talking about Chinese who speak Chinese. You know, people like me, I speak Chinese. That's my first language. You know, in general, first generation Chinese immigrants. I think for them, usually when they look at financial, you know, scandals or corruption related issues, they always compare the situation to China or to Hong Kong or to Taiwan. If it's like people always say it's not a big deal, since, you know, you compare these corrupted people back in Asia, these are just, you know, small cakes. So why should I bother? All I care about is just economy, right? So that's the mentality for most of the Chinese new immigrants that I know. And this time, it's interesting is that for very, very newcomers, like especially those from mainland China, they are open. Traditionally, people tend to think like Chinese, they just vote for the BC Liberals, right? They vote for the conservatives. But the mainland Chinese new immigrants, they are very open-minded about this. Of course, one thing is that they are not familiar with the parties. Secondly, is because of the 15% transfer tax, which affected many of their lives. Because many of them are, you know, agents. Many of them have a job related to the real estate market. So they are pissed from in that aspect. Also, because some of it's more about a personal thing. If they know the candidates, they are willing to vote for them, or if they are close to the candidates, they are friends with the candidates, they probably will vote for the candidates no matter which party they belong to. So that's another thing. But for people from Hong Kong or Taiwan, or they have been here for a long time, they usually have a party affiliation. But overall, I still have to say, in the Chinese community, it's very, very quiet. Like, people really don't give a damn about the election that much. So in short, they are not involved into the Canadian society enough. They are still kind of like guests here. You know, they are not like they. Even though they have Canadian passports, but they don't really participate. They don't really read the news. They don't. Some of them, for good reason or bad reason, rational reason or irrational reasons, they just don't care. Having said that, I still feel, it's just my feeling, this election, the turnout in the Chinese community will be higher than 4 years ago, because people start to become more aware as well. So that's about the Chinese community. And one thing interesting is about the crazy ads on Chinese media, right?
No kidding.
Yeah, and they've been doing this for so many times. I mean, almost every election. And I don't know if they work this time, because usually they do have, I mean, I think, who was that? I think Gabriel Yu had an article on Huffington Post talking about his experience with the crazy ads. He said that people still doing that because it works. I tend to agree with him on that as well. Yeah, because I don't know, because of this translation or cultural gap, language barrier plus cultural gap, it's easier to sort of manipulate people's mind in ethnic communities than the in some degree. I can only think in some degree than the mainstream society. Let's talk about I don't want to do a traditional prediction of who's gonna win, who's gonna lose, because it's first of all, after Donald Trump, I refuse to do any kind of electoral prediction, because it will only, Donald Trump really brought me humiliation, so I don't want to do that anymore. Also, is because I think almost all these major outlets probably will do that. So my question will actually be, let's say, what if NTP still lose this time, but lose in they narrow the gap. Let's say, the Liberals have like 46 seats, and NDP has 40 plus seats. What's going to happen to John Horgan?
I don't really know, because other than John Horgan, I'm not even sure if the membership would revolt in and ask for a new leadership convention.
Oh, because what I'm thinking is, because how if there is going to be another failure, let's say, how NDP will. Especially NDP supporters, when I say NDP organizers and supporters will reflect or respond to another failure. If it's a very narrow loss, will they just think, it was just bad luck, it was because of the Greens, it was just, we are just one more step away from victory, or they will view this as a total failure, because even with Christy Clark having such a terrible reputation, they still cannot, pull the thing. And then they are requested. So they will see this as a huge... my question is about if it's a narrow failure, Will they see this as a real failure, or just a, unlucky result?
Actually, I don't really know with their organizers.
Yeah, I'm just curious. Of course, I don't know as well. You have any?
It really depends on the margin. I mean, if it's a close one, it could be just bad luck, and turfing the current leader might make the situation even worse.
Okay. What if Chris Clark, if she has a narrow victory, I would say probably the BC Liberals will do a leadership review. Probably they want to get rid of her if the victory is a narrow, small victory.
I think there's already a growing faction within the BC Liberals who want to get rid of Christy Clark. Especially,
I mean, there was one 4 years ago, right?
There were 4 years ago. There's actually even more now. Like, you see, there's actually quite a few prominent BC Liberals who are telling folks to vote for the NDP this time. Because, like, I could send you some links, but basically, they are, like, guys like Martin Brown, who was Gordon Campbell's former chief of staff, and there's also a sign committee chair in the Vancouver Point Grey riding when Gordon Campbell was the MLA there. He's endorsing the NDP this time as well, because I think, to quote them, I think the key reason is they don't like having the BC Liberals getting rebranded as a country club of those big donors. At least that's what they said.
I see. Okay, but yeah, okay, so the election is coming, and it's next Tuesday, and probably if you hear this, probably the election might already be finished. But anyway, I still urge everybody, you know, just come out and vote, even though from a political, philosophical point of view, voters don't really matter, but you still got to vote, because that's the only way of us really participating in this process. So the future is going to be bright or not? How do you feel about the future? Or it's the old same?
You mean the future of the community or my own future?
Not your own future. I mean the community, the province. Do we need to have some hope, or should we just, you know, lower our expectations? So when, no matter which party elected, no matter, like, after 4 years, we just don't feel too depressed, because we have had such high expectation in the first place.
Well, I think the expectation should be constant. Like, it shouldn't be too high, but at the same time, it shouldn't be so low that essentially the politicians do nothing and get reelected anyway, right? I mean, if that's the case, what are we paying them for, right? So I think voting and electoral participation, it is crucial to at least have some control or some awareness of how things are going, so that you can kind of plan your life a little bit better too.
At least when you have the chance to stop Trump, you gotta come out and vote, even though Hillary might not be that great in that case, eh?
Yeah, especially if you live in a swing state or a swing riding, right?
Especially if you don't have the guts to have a revolution, if you don't want to have a revolution. I mean, the best you can do is to stop the person you really don't want. That's the bottom line, I guess. And I don't really know about BC's future going to be great or not. I hope so, because this is a place I care about. Many of my friends live here. My family is here. And I just wish for the best. I mean, no matter who's going to be elected. I mean, this is, saying that is tough, because you know some of these people you don't like, or you know some of them won't be able to bring us to the promising land, but you still have to wish for the best, because it's really out of our control. I would say in the future, it's not really up to here, because if you see what's going on around the world, probably more chaotic situations will come into us and will have influence in this place, will affect this province. So, yeah, I guess that's the end of this episode, I guess. And yeah, this is our second podcast. We still don't have an iTunes account. I think we will have one very soon. We're going to register for that. And after the election, Stanley and I and our whole behind-the-scenes team will have some discussions, and we will keep running this New Way Opinion website, both in Chinese and English. And I hope if some of you, even just one person, two person, think our stuff is not too terrible, just keep, I guess, just keep following us. And I hope we get to improve over time, not just the content, the writing, the podcast, also stuff like, for example, my English, etc. Right?
Well, I hope you find the context useful, and we're going to be back probably right after the election. And until then, have a great weekend and go out and vote.